Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
All right, let's jump into the word here. We got a few minutes. We're talking about bridges. That's what we're talking about. I absolutely love that title that was that you guys have been in. It was given by Pastor Mike and the team who's been working here. All right, so let me just start off by saying this, is that I'm going to try to do this quickly because I still feel like God wants to impart something to everyone in here. I believe he'll speak something through this moment. As I was thinking about this particular message on bridges, I was asked to share about Jesus. How many of you know that's an easy one? I think they did that on purpose because they knew, you know, they knew I needed help. When I thought about this whole idea of building better relationships, the first thing that came to my mind was a quote from one of my favorite authors. His name is Dr. Gary Smalley. You probably know him. He's written, probably a dozen books. But one of the quotes in his books, DNA of Relationship, it says, "Life is all about relationships. Everything else is just details." Life is all about relationships. Everything else is just details. Now, what's amazing about this particular book that I was reading, DNA of Relationships, is that he says that he took couples that were on the verge of divorce, that literally had filed their papers for divorce, and took them through the particular principles of this book. And he had over a 90% success rate in seeing them come back together. Now, I can't go over the entire book tonight with the time that we have, but what stood out to me was his number one principle. The number one principle that he had was a principle called the power of one. Do you guys want to know what that principle is? What's the power of one? It's very simple. It's the principle of taking responsibility for your own actions. Taking responsibility for your... I thought about this. He gives an example, a story of... He says, let's imagine that you're walking down the street and a stranger comes up to you and they just start going after you with bad words and just slandering you and getting on you. How are you likely to react to that? You know, some of you maybe say a few things to that person and then move on. You might get upset with them and say, "What's your problem?" Other people may just try to ignore them and just walk on, you know. But how long is that incident going to stay with you, really? Not really long, right? Probably after maybe a day or two, you're going to forget about it. If someone brings it up again, you may share it. But then he says this. He says, now what if you're walking down the street and your mom comes out and she does the same thing? How do you respond? And he said, most of the time, you're going to feel real hurt. You're going to remember that for a very long time. You know, it's no telling how you may respond. But then he asked this question: why is your response different? Why is it different? Is it that something came in and kind of took control over you and made you respond that way? Or is it just because you chose to respond differently? So he's saying, whether or not you feel vulnerable or not in a relationship, it's still your choice on how you respond. You have to take responsibility. Now, I thought about this particular thing and I was like, this is a great task. How many of you know that when you're in a relationship and you're vulnerable to someone else, whether it's a friend, whether it's a parent, whether it's a sibling, a coworker, or a husband or wife, that it is difficult not to respond with some type of level of emotion or passion to them when they do something wrong to you? It is difficult, and I admit that. But I also get what he's saying, is that ultimately we do have responsibility for how we're going to respond to people. Now, I thought about this. And I said, now let me think about if this thing is real in my life. How's this happen? I thought, you know what? It is real. That I have changed my response things the way that I would have responded in one situation to my wife is not the way, you know, in other words, the way I would have responded in the past is not the way I'm responding currently. I'm responding with love and care and wisdom. And why is that, though? Where in the world did I get that from? Because here's the issue, is that I did not have that when I was growing up. For 25 years, what I saw in my home was my parents, they were cussing each other out. They were throwing pots, doing all types of things, arguing, shutting doors, all types of things. I didn't see that. So where in the world did I where did I find that ability to do that? And it's simply this, it's through Jesus. Is I found the strength to respond, to take responsibility in my relationships through Jesus Christ. It's through what he's done in my life. If it wasn't for him, I would never have the ability to, I wouldn't even think like that. And so when I think about this whole series on the bridge, being a bridge, I think about how a bridge is really something that takes us a passageway from one thing to the next, and it's usually over something which is like a chasm. I believe that a chasm is like relationships, and a bridge is going from one relationship and making that relationship better, going to the other side. And Jesus is the bridge, the ultimate bridge. And that's what I want to talk about, is that Jesus is the ultimate bridge. What is he? Who is he? What is he the bridge to? He's the bridge, first and foremost, to the Father God. And that's very important. There's a particular scripture here in John chapter 14. I think we have this. It says this, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then in verse 18, it says, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. What's interesting about this is that this assumes that Jesus is the way to the Father. That means he gives us, he's the bridge to the Father. And if we don't go through Jesus, then what we find ourselves acting as and behaving as is orphans. And I thought about this whole idea of being an orphan is when you look at what this is speaking of, it's not saying that these people don't have parents. And this passage is talking about the fact that Jesus, he says, I am the truth, I'm the way, and I'm the life. If someone's going to come to the Father, they must come through me. And if they come to the Father, then they're no longer orphans. Here's what I thought about. Here's the main things that characterize an orphan. It's one of the things that characterize an orphan is the orphan strives for the praise and approval and acceptance of man. That's what an orphan wants. Just constantly going after the acceptance of man because you don't feel validated in your heart. You don't feel validated that you are God's, that you belong to him. When you come to the Father, there you find total acceptance from God and you're justified by grace. Another aspect of orphans, orphan spirit often feels insecure and lacks peace and rest instead of rest and peace in their soul. It's this insecurity. So what he's saying is you have to hear this. Jesus is the bridge to the Father. And the Father provides you with the security and the approval you need to function in life. Another aspect of the orphan is that the orphan pursues God so that they can receive favor. You know, it's kind of like, I'm going to pursue God, and I'm hoping, I'm going to pray, I'm going to fast, I'm going to do everything I can so that you can favor me and you protect me and provide for me and do whatever. Whereas someone who's come to the Father and that's a son, that's adopted as a son, they don't pursue God because of those things. They pursue God out of intimacy, and then God grants them those things in their life. In Ephesians 1, if we have that scripture, it talks about this. It says that God predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. So it's through Jesus, Jesus being the bridge, that we can ward off that orphan spirit and keep it from away from us and see that thing broken off of our lives where we don't feel like we have to strive and we're insecure and we don't have peace in our lives. We're pursuing God for things. I want to pray right now for anybody in here that's dealing with that, that's felt like I just don't ever feel at peace. You don't have to raise your hand or anything. I just want to pray for you right now that God will give you deliverance from that. Because that's one of the things that Jesus promised, is that you'll be connected with the Father. The Father. He wants to give you peace. Father, I pray for every person in here that has dealt with that, that feels like they need to gain approval from people, that somehow they're not validated if someone doesn't say something to them, that they feel like they can't serve or bless or be a blessing unless someone praises them. Lord, I'm praying by the power of your Spirit that you would make the reality of Jesus Christ real in that area and the reality of the Father, Holy Spirit. Lord, that they won't just pursue you out of what they can get, but they would pursue you out of knowing you. Lord, I thank you, God, that this day, Lord, that people will be marked by your power. They'll be marked by the sense of your love in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jesus is also the bridge to the Holy Spirit. He's the bridge to the Holy Spirit. I have the Luke 3:16 talks about this. It says, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, that sounds all good, but what does that mean? We can look at this in Luke 24:49. It says, and behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, the promise of the Spirit, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. What is happening here is that Jesus is the bridge to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us power. He gives us power. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can have power in our lives. So that we can see the gates of hell not prevail in our cities, in our home, and all the places that God is sending us to and calling us to be at. So that we can see God move in our lives from decade to decade. We need his power. And the Holy Spirit grants that power to us. It all comes through Jesus Christ. Because he is the one that baptizes in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also does this in John 16:17. It says, some of his disciples said to one another, what is this that he says, a little while and you will not see me, and again, a little while and you will see me because I'm going to the Father. We could go on another verse there. Next verse. Do we have that in 18? It's okay if we don't. I'll just mention what it says. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And the scripture really goes on to say after that, that when the helper comes, the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. That there's going to be, he's going to literally, so this is what Jesus does. He is the bridge to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives you wisdom and power so that you'll have healthy relationships. I don't know if people ever make that connection. I made the connection. Listen, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit speaking to me, based on the model that I saw, I don't know where I would be at with my friendships and my relationship with my wife. But there's so many times where the Holy Spirit's compelled me after speaking to my wife in a particular way. I said something the wrong way. The Holy Spirit's convicted me and said, Reggie, you should say it this way and apologize and extend forgiveness. See, a lot of people tend to think of the Holy Spirit as being only operating in signs. Well, no, the Holy Spirit helps us in every area of our lives. There's not an area that is withheld from Him where He gives wisdom to us. In our relationships, He gives wisdom. I don't know what I would do without Him. There's so many times where He cautions me, not only after I've done something, but before I do something. Before I'm getting ready to speak, He says, no, you should say it this way. You should not say that. Say this. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is interested in you having better relationships. He's interested in how you parent your kids. You know how many times I've saw my father, heard my father say, son, please forgive me. Zero. I never heard that growing up. But I'll never forget when I did something wrong to my son the first time. And I falsely thought he did something, and I kind of accused him for that. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and He said, Reggie, you're wrong. Ask Him for forgiveness. And I said, what? Ask this little boy for forgiveness? I'm his daddy. Ask Him for forgiveness. And the Holy Spirit said, how many times you hear your daddy say, forgive me? I said, none. He said, how'd that feel? I said, good point. These are just the conversations I have with the Holy Spirit. He wants to talk to you like that. Some of you, He's already talking to you like that. You just need to be open even more. I said, didn't feel right. He said, yep. And now you're struggling to do this because you never heard that. I said, yes. And so I decided to do something I'd never heard before. As I got down on my knee and I said to my son, son, please forgive me. I'm sorry for doing that. And you know kids, man, they can forgive so easily. He just forgave me. And I said, will you bless me? He blessed me. I really believe, and even in his life, I believe that I need to respect and honor him too. Because God loves him. He created him. Doesn't matter whether he's a kid or not. He's actually a believer too. So you know what that means? The Holy Spirit lives inside of him. And guess what? He doesn't have a junior Holy Spirit inside of him. He doesn't have some other form of Holy Spirit or whatever. I challenge him many times. Pray for people. Forgive people. Bless people. Do everything you can that I do. Because God's living inside of you. But Jesus is the bridge to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit helps us. I'm just thinking about so many things. In every facet of life, He wants to help us. You know, wherever you are, I just want you to be open to what He wants to do in your life, in your relationships. I know some of you, man, I got to tell you, I'll just be honest. As a campus missionary, I had to develop a partnership team. And many of you are aware of that. And there was one particular person that he was a pastor of a church, and he promised that he was going to partner with me. He was going to help me to go out and reach people, reach the campus. And I came to his church, and he kind of ran around circles with me. And then I came to his house. He wasn't there. He told me he was going to be there. He wasn't there. And then I came to his house, and he was there finally. And he started to write the check, and then he asked me this question, and he used this question to basically get out of supporting and partnering with me. And I was so mad because what he was supposed to give me was a thing that was going to complete my team and allow me to go out and do the mission work. And I was upset, and I was mad. And I'll never forget, I just didn't want to say anything in front of him, but I have to admit, I wanted to call down curses on him at that moment. I'm just being honest. I was like, I can't believe this is not of God. How can a man of God, how can he do such a thing? I just got all mad, and I went to one of my mentors, and I said, I'm tired of this. I can't believe he did this. I was all on my way. And my mentor, he went to the back, his trunk of his car, and he pulled out all of these books about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and scripture promises. And he said, Reggie, he meant well. He said, why don't you take this book and give it to them as a gift. And say, thank you for considering. I appreciate it. I said, this is this guy's name, Jimmy. I said, that is so foreign to me. I said, that's the last thing I want to do right now. But he said, but that's love. And I said, man, you're right. So I did exactly what he said. And I learned something that day, is that the kingdom of God doesn't respond like the world. Doesn't matter what you've seen in life growing up. Doesn't matter what happened, but the Holy Spirit spoke to me through him. And he led me to go give. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. Last thing I want to mention here is that Jesus is also the bridge to the lost, to the world. 2 Corinthians 5 talks about this. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I want to just pause right there for a moment. I was sharing at TSU today. And I just want to say this to every person in here. I mentioned this to the class yesterday. Do you realize that you will personally be different 5 years from now? You will look different. Do you realize that this church will be different 5 years from now? Aren't we praying that this church will increase and grow, that the blessing of God will be upon it? Is that what we're believing? Do you realize that when you became a Christian, that you signed up for change? People are like, I'm uncomfortable with change. I don't want to change. Why do I need to change? You know, this is just how I am. This is my personality. This is just what I am. This is how I am to people. I just don't like lost people. You know what I mean? They cuss. They smoke. They say all types of bad. They have bad attitudes. And I'm like, what did you used to be? I used to be one of those people. Here's the issue is that you, when you become a Christian, you sign up for change. You're signing up for changing your life, the way you've done it, the way you view the world, the way you view church, everything else. God wants to progressively do that. And that's what that scripture tells us, that you're a new creature in Christ. I love this. That word is speaking not just of a immediate transformation, but it's speaking of a transformation that takes place over time. It's a coming of the new. The new is coming. That means change. You're going to have to change. You're going to have to change. You should never get so stuck and so comfortable in who you are, what you're doing in that particular moment, that you're not willing to listen to God, who will possibly stretch you and put you out into a new area where you can do something great for him. He wants that to happen in your life. You must change. Then this says in 18, all this is from God, who through Christ, there it is, Jesus is the bridge, reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to them the message of reconciliation. I love this. You know, if it wasn't for Christ and what he did in my life, I wouldn't even think about people. I'd be caught up in myself all the time. That's just how I live. Thinking about myself, what I'm going to wear, how my future's going to work out, you know, what am I going to eat? That was an important one, you know, just, you know, from time to time. All these different, I'd just be thinking about myself and how what they did affected me. You know, and how this change in this church affected me, and how this happened and affected me. And I was just thinking about, it's all me, 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 me. You know, and then, you know, you want to know what the root thing about offense is? The root cause of offense is just self-centeredness. It's because life is like about you, and so it's almost like, how dare you offend me? How dare you say, it's an entitlement mentality. But what this scripture tells us is that God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He gave you that so that you're not counting people's transgressions against them or their trespasses against them, but you're giving them forgiveness and love and grace in their lives. I was thinking about this and how this works out with the lost. There's a particular guy that I met a few years back. His name is Trevor. He wouldn't mind me sharing this story. But I met him as a freshman. He came in into the campus, and at that time, as I was walking on campus, and I was asking God to show me anyone I need to talk to. So God prompted me to talk to this guy, Trevor. So I went up and talked to him, and I asked him if we could have a lunch appointment. We can meet and talk a little bit. I had some things I felt like would be important for him to know about and share with him. So Trevor agreed to do that. It's powerful. I was like, praise God. So I went to lunch with him, and as I went to lunch with him, we started to talk, and I started to share the gospel with him, this ministry of reconciliation that God had given me. And you know what he did? He cussed me out. I know, you guys are like, whoa, really? Yeah, that's what he did. He just cussed me out. Started cussing at me. Just completely rejected and said, I don't want to have anything to do with this. Get out of my face, basically. So I thought, all right, I guess this lunch appointment is over with then. So I left, and I thought to myself, man, he needs help. God bless him. I heard God say, you know what you need to do, Reggie? You need to pray for him for the next 7 days, every day. Pray real hard. I was like, okay, I'm going to do it because he needs help in his life. So I prayed for 7 days, and I kind of forgot about the guy. And then a year. You got to say that. Say a year. The ministry of reconciliation sometimes doesn't happen as fast as we like. It just doesn't. But we're called to serve and to minister in that particular way. A year passes, I prayed, and I'm walking in that same place, and I see him. And I go to him, I say, I didn't go to him, actually. I said, nice to see you. Kind of walked by. The guy says, Reggie, talk to him. I said, really? Talk to him after that response? What am I going to get this time? He's going to egg me or throw something at me or what? The guy's like, no, talk to him. He's ready. I said, he's ready. Okay. So I said, hey, man, I'd love to talk to you, meet with you, and again, just see how you're doing since we last talked, you know. Hopefully things are better with you. And he's like, okay, yeah, I can meet with you and talk. And so, again, we had lunch. It was in a similar place, same place. And as I was talking with him, before I talked with him, that morning I prayed for about 2 hours. I'm not joking you. I prayed in the spirit for about 2 hours. And I was like, we cannot have another response like what happened before. So God, you know, we have to have something different. So I need a different result here. So I'm gonna set myself. So I prayed in the spirit for 2 hours. And while I was praying, now I'm dating myself when I say this, I know, but most of you should, hopefully you will know what I'm talking about. But while I was praying, God said to him, preach the gospel to him. I said, I preached the gospel. He rejected. He said, no, this time use the movie The Matrix. I said, okay, I'll use the movie The Matrix. He said, yep, tell him about the red and the blue. I said, okay, I'll do that. Tell him about the unseen world and preach the gospel to him about it, being born again and all these different things. So I said, okay, I'll do that. So we sat down, and I started sharing this gospel message with him out of The Matrix. And I saw his eyes light up. It was amazing. When I finished, he said, man, you answered every question I've had this whole summer. He said, my grandmother passed. And he said, it got me thinking so much about what I need to do, my life, eternity, and you answered it all. I was like, I was surprised. I was like, really? It's like, wow. And I almost forgot to ask him if he wanted to receive Christ. I was so enamored and surprised by the response. And I asked him, you want to receive Christ? He said, yes. And I said, okay, well, let's pray. So we prayed. He received Christ at that very moment. And then he said, I have to go. And I was like, okay, go ahead and go, man. Go ahead and go. I said, let's connect another time. Can we do that? He said, yeah, I need to go. So about a week passes, and I see him. He comes into a prayer meeting, and we pray for him. And at that prayer meeting, we lay hands on him, and he gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. Power of God comes on him. And he's feeling the fire of God on him. And I'm like, praise God, this is real. Like, I'm so glad this is real. Like, this is happening in your life. And he said, yeah. He said, it's real. You don't know how real it is, Reggie. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, that day you met with me, I have to admit something to you. I said, what? He said, I was getting ready to kill somebody. He said, they stole something from me. I had a gun, and I was getting ready to kill them. And I said, really? He said, yes. I was going to go harm them. And he said, but when you spoke to me after I received that message from you, I thought I need to go and just release him and forgive him for that. And he said, when I went to him and he thought it was going to be a scuffle, but I told him, no, I just want to forgive him, release him. And he said, when that happened, he said, that guy gave me back what he had stole from me. And he said, I know that this thing is real. He said, and so I'm all in for that. That guy ended up becoming a campus missionary years later and reached out to a campus. I want to tell you that God has entrusted us with the message of reconciliation. Jesus is the bridge to the lost. Without that message, we're irrelevant. What do we really have to offer people except for good thoughts and philosophies and tips on how they should do this or do that and all the counsel of the world? It doesn't save their souls and put something inside of them that allows them to be successful in their marriages, in their lives, in their families. Jesus himself is the bridge to the lost and dying world. That's what that ministry of reconciliation is about that God's given us. And it's interesting how when it genuinely takes an impact in someone's life, that they become a person that views the world through that. That Jesus is the answer for whatever hurts and whatever pains or whatever struggles that people may have, that he makes us incredibly relevant to every person through that powerful message. What have I said here is that simply, I love the principle of the power of one. It's a powerful taking responsibility on our actions and how we react and respond to people. But I have to tell you that I believe that that is almost impossible without having Jesus in your heart. Without having Jesus reconciling us and bringing us and being the bridge to the Father, will we find the security and peace in our hearts to love people instead of feeling like we need to prove something and dominate people? It's Jesus who bridges the gap with the Holy Spirit that gives us the power and the wisdom to have healthy relationships that guides us so that we can be successful and be a light to the world. And it's Jesus that connects us with the lost, that allows us to be relevant to the lost. People are hurting. People are depressed. People are fearful. And they need you. They need your message that Jesus placed inside of you based on what he's done in your life. You know, I think that there's someone here today. There's someone here that you have not been reconciled to the Father. You've not received Jesus into your heart and received this great ministry of reconciliation. You don't have an experience with the Holy Spirit. I believe God wants to give that to you today. If we could, just bow your heads. I want to pray for you. I believe there's someone here like that. This is your chance. When I was growing up, the preachers would always say, we never know what's going to happen tomorrow. The truth is we don't. But this is not about fear. This is about love. There's no one that can love you more than the Father. There's no one that can love you greater than Jesus. Jesus, I feel you calling and moving on people right now. There's someone in here that was headed to do something, that would have hurt them or hurt someone else. It may not have been as extreme as a murder or killing, but there's something. And Lord, I'm asking right now that whoever that person is, that you reveal yourself to them. If that's you, I just want you to pray this prayer. If you say, I want to receive Jesus, the bridge, into my life, into my heart. I want to know him. I want to know the Father. I want to rid myself of that orphan spirit and once and for all have him come live inside of me. Just want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge you as the bridge to the relationship with the Father, the relationship with the Holy Spirit, the bridge to my call and my purpose in life. I turn away from my sin, serving myself, and I turn to you. Come now and fill me as I put my trust in you. Thank you for filling me now and living inside of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me speak a word to the church. If you can stand to your feet, I believe God wants you to receive something here. We're almost done. But I really felt like God spoke to me. It's interesting, we sung that last song about the showers of mercy and grace. But as we were out, as I was praying in the car with my friend Dave, we were just praying in the Spirit, and I heard very clearly God say that this church is getting ready to experience the rain from heaven. And that rain was going to be characterized by unique and dynamic power. That you would see powers, displays, and expressions of the Holy Spirit that you've never seen before. That you're going to see wisdom downloaded in a moment that gives you solutions to problems in one moment. That you're going to see that there would literally be healing power released upon you. That you would see the word of the Lord come forward. And it would be so clear, and that most importantly, that you would experience a time of refreshing. A time of refreshing that would transcend the weariness that you felt. Lord, I'm asking right now, if you receive that word, just pray with me. Lord Jesus, let the rain come. Let your rain fall upon us. Let your rain fall upon this church. Let your rain fall upon my family. Let your rain fall upon my workplace. Let your rain fall upon my soul. Lord, I receive the rain of your power. I receive the rain of your wisdom. I receive the rain of your grace. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for that. I bless every person in here. Lord, let your rain fall. Let it come. Let it come. Lord, even right now, Lord, let your rain be released. Some of you said, well, I didn't get a word tonight. The Lord has a word for you right now. Just receive it. There's a word from heaven. I feel the Holy Spirit and his angels literally unlocking things in your heart and your mind. There are ideas that you've been waiting for. They're coming right now. Holy Spirit, move. Move in this place. Reveal yourself. Lord, thank you for a new level. Lord, I'm speaking a new level of strength that comes as people grow up in the Spirit through the reign of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor Reggie. That wasn't that fantastic? If you did receive a word from the Lord, if you were called out, we've got those recorded. Is that right? If you could just go to the back and give them your email address and they can send you that. So you want to make sure that you can listen to that you can fight the good fight. Even as I was listening to some of them and I was saying, Lord, I'm going to have me some of that too. You said it was for somebody else, but it's like the Holy Spirit. If you pay attention, the Holy Spirit will just kind of nudge you and say, that's for you too. And we get a greater revelation of God and His mercy and His knowing, just knowing that He knows where you've been, where you need to go, and kind of the obstacles in the, along the way. It's such a good thing. Lord, we do thank You so much. Thank You, Lord, that You have blessed us with Your presence. Surely God is here among us. Lord, we thank You so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we get ready to get dismissed, I want to ask our ministry team to come on down. And if you have any prayer needs, anything that you need, somebody to stand with you, just come down to these people. They've been trained to pray for you. If you could come down here on our ministry team. And so if you need prayer, don't go without having somebody just stand with you in that. Other than that, God bless you. God make His face to shine upon you. Go in the peace of the Lord. And we are dismissed.